Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. We're kind of sort of back to summer weather. Daytime highs right now, tomorrow, Wednesday, right around that 80-degree mark. It's nice. Oh, and you know what? I want to go to McDonald's. Now, you know the story. If you've been with me for any period of time, you know that I'm not a huge McDonald's patron. I'm just not. I don't dislike the food. I just, it's not just, I don't go there very often. I make two pilgrimages to McDonald's each and every single year. I go once when they bring back the McRib. I love the McRib sandwich. You know why? There's not a single solitary piece of meat anywhere in it. It's a science project and I don't care. It's yummy. Absolutely yummy. So I go there for the McRib. And I go there for the St. Patrick's Day, the Emerald Shake, or whatever they call it. Shamrock Shake, that's it. Those are two times I go. Those are my excursions. My boys now don't even go with me for those. They used to. And here's the weird thing about the Katz family. We've never really done much in the way of fast food. The kids, Harry, Julia, Joe, I mean, they've had burgers from drive-thru joints in the past, but it's just not a lot. It's just not a lot. Now, Heidi and I, man, well, we used to go make the pilgrimage from Boston to visit her family out on Buzzards Bay. You knew you were pretty much halfway there. There was a Burger King, double Burger King. And so you always went there and you got a sandwich. Now, if you're thinking to me, well, why would you get a sandwich before you went someplace where you were going for dinner? Because my mother-in-law is truly, and I don't mean this in a negative way or a nasty way, I'm just making an observation. She is truly the worst cook I have ever met. Now, that doesn't mean she's the worst cook on planet Earth, but I certainly haven't met anybody who can destroy good, decent food like my mother-in-law. It's awful. So we always stopped at Burger King on the way there or on the way back. Just because, you know, you'd be hungry after a whole day of hearing all the complaints and eating crappy food or trying to eat crappy food. So all of that to say, I want to go to McDonald's. I looked at Donald Trump working the fry machine. I looked at him in the drive-thru window and I thought, man, he completely, totally connects with all the rest of us, right? That's what that was, by the way. Now, the yahoos on the left, who infest the ranks of the legacy news media on the national basis. They're fact-checking, baby. Their fact-checking equipment is fact-checking like nobody's fact-checking equipment has ever fact-checked. Well, you know, did Donald Trump really, did he actually put the fries in the fryolator? It looked like he did. Well, you know, the restaurant wasn't actually open, so he technically does not work for McDonald's. No kidding, really? Why don't you go take one of those big-time journalism awards out of petty cash? Oh, look, I got what are they, Pulitzers now? What's the big one? I mean, Emmy for TV and radio. I don't even know if we do anything anymore, to tell you the truth, but who knows? Go take one of those, because you exposed the fact that Donald Trump actually was not an employee of McDonald's on the day that he was handing out the food. Now, take a tenth of that energy, you complete and total frauds you, and you go march and find out if Kamala Harris ever actually had a job at McDonald's. She's the one who started this, if you will. I mean, I feel like I'm on a like on a playground somewhere. I'm not, R2, but that's where we are. Kamala Harris, about 6 months ago, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, said, oh, you know, I worked at McDonald's in high school. Did you know? Yeah. Okay. Now, the problem for Ms. Harris, Mrs. Emhoff, is that she's never mentioned it before. Seriously, before about 6 months ago, when all of a sudden, obviously, somebody in a focus group, one of her staff members, they all hate her, by the way. God, they detest her. But they said, well, you know, you got to be more human. You've got to be more relatable. So seriously, put your human skin back on and put that cackle away somewhere and pretend that you're a real person. Did you ever work fast food? And they invented it. So all of a sudden, she worked at McDonald's. Well, Team Trump, God bless them, they know how to do stuff. They went, they found her first resume. Her first resume. Guess what's not listed? No, go ahead, take your time, talk amongst yourselves. See if you can figure out what's not listed. That's right, all of her dedicated service to the Golden Arches. So as President Trump said, he has actually worked 15 minutes longer for McDonald's than Kamala Harris, and he's right. And it resonates with everybody, because it's a messaging thing. If Kamala Harris's team had two synapses firing amongst them, you know what they would have done? They would have said, hey, listen, she's going to be pitching this I worked at McDonald's crap, right?
Yep.
Nobody's going to ask if it's true because they know it's not. They don't care. You know what they should have done? They said, all right, we're going to dress her up. Let her wear the apron. She's going to work the fry machine at a McDonald's. This is hers. She should have owned it from the beginning. Not that I'm looking to help her, and you know, 15 days out, I'm not sure that there is any way to salvage the disaster. You know who's laughing the most at this, truthfully? Has to be Joe Biden. Now, I know Joe Biden is outraged that the secret plans that he had showing that Israel was going to do some stuff with Iran were leaked. Well, we take that very seriously. No, you don't. Once again, you are full of crap. Here's what the Biden-Harris regime has made very clear. They hate Israel. Okay, I got it. I wrote it down. I did. I've got a big pink legal pad that I have everything written out on for today, and I wrote it right here. Biden-Harris regime hates Israel. So that way I won't forget it today. Maybe I'll write it again tomorrow. I hope I don't have to, but you know what? You and I both know that I will. So all of the songs, all of the dancing, all of the tap dancing going on with this, Jake somebody or John Kirby or Kirby Henderson, I don't know, whoever the hell that was going, oh, we take this very seriously. How seriously? Did Joe Biden wake up from a nap to address it? Or did he say, what does that mean? I don't know, we only got a few more weeks of this crap left. You know, that's got to be the thinking up there, too. Seriously, got to be the thinking up there as well. And those people, Team Biden, indicted and unindicted, all of them looking at this and saying, see, we told you so. We told you so. So inside the Democrat Party, and make no mistake, we won't see this publicly. Because the Democrats are really, really good about keeping all this stuff like in the family. Again, it's like a mob operation. And you know, you don't, it's like Omerta, the silence. You don't think, you don't snitch on somebody else, but it's not hard to see who needs to be snitched on if, in fact, you're a Democrat. Nancy Pelosi, Schmuck Schumer, Barack Obama. Those are the three that engineered the coup that tossed poor Joe Biden right over the edge, tossed him right off the cliff, and delivered Kamala Harris. I didn't do that. I mean, look, I hate Joe Biden and all. I do. I detest him. Every fiber of my being hates every fiber of his being.
Come on, man.
Well, you're an absolutely awful excuse for a human being. I know. I mean, except for the hairy legs. That sort of makes you kind of the, well.
Got hairy leg that turned blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again.
Yeah, well, they probably should have all chipped in and gotten cable or something, because I think that's a lot more interesting. And does that make him more human or more simian? I can't quite figure that one out. But nonetheless, I do. I detest Joe Biden, everything that he's ever done. He's an absolutely awful human being. But Kamala Harris is vacuous, man. She is the emperor's new clothes come to life, or the empress's new clothing come to life. I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way, but there is nothing there.
And yeah, I am radical. I do believe that we need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously.
Oh, God. Will she go away, by the way, when she loses? Will she go away? Will we be done with her? Is she going back to California to run for governor? Howard Gutman told me absolutely positively not. We were talking off stage at Politics and Pints. And he said, oh, no, she's first. I got to hand it to him. He said to me, oh, she's going to lose. She's absolutely going to lose. And I thought, well, thank you, man. It's the first nice thing you've said to me in the 6 years I've known you. She's going to lose. I said, well, then what? She's going to run for governor of California. And he's like, she doesn't need that. She's not going to do that. Why would she do that? Now, my oldest boy, you know, Harry, he's out there. He's part of the bad people. And he's like, oh, yeah, everybody here is getting ready for her to run for governor. Ooh. Well, we'll see. Oh, I got a little video coming in on IG on Instagram. And it's a big fat guy in a bad wig and a long red dress. It's kind of, well, you know, it's kind of like a Christmas look to it. And he's leading these children in a chant that I sent it over there, Jerem. It says, if you're a drag queen and you know it, shout Free Palestine. All right, I'm going to send it again, Jerem. It's on IG. Grab that, because I'd love to share that with everybody. It's like two of the dumbest things I've seen today. And I've already seen a bunch of dumb stuff. I really have. I mean, I'm looking at this and going, okay, dude, where are you opening your drag club? Is it going to be in Gaza or is it going to be in Rafah? I mean, pick a good site and see if you can get it financed by the Hezbollah Bank, because with every new account at the Hezbollah Bank, you get not one but two free pagers. That's pretty cool. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah, hey, two all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. I've been saying that since I was a tiny little kid. Two all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Boom! There you have it. And again, I don't know exactly that it's the meal that is recommended by your nutritionist or dietitian, but who gives a crap? I loved seeing President Trump there. And here are some of the knocks on him, just so we're all clear, because you just need to hear how out of touch the leftists are. Attack number one, he didn't even tie his own apron. Uh-huh. He didn't tie his own apron. So what? You know, tying things backwards is something you learn to do when you do them on a regular basis. And they're saying, well, you know, that just shows that, no. Listen, let me tell you something. I've got an apron here from Katz's Deli in New York. And sometimes I wear it when I'm cooking something that is splattering grease, or I think, I don't want to mess up a shirt. That's all, period. So I put that on, and I got news for you. Invariably, I say to Heidi, can you do me a favor? Can you tie the back? Because I don't do it on a regular basis. I think if I did it on a regular basis, I could probably do it. You know what I was worried about with President Trump? The fact that he was wearing such a nice shirt. Beautiful shirt. French cuffs. Now, you know how I feel about French cuffs. I got a box full of cufflinks I don't wear nearly enough because I'm not normally wearing a shirt with French cuffs. Now, when I'm doing more speeches, and I got one coming up out in Chicago this week, I'm absolutely going to be wearing some French cuffs and some cufflinks. But I'm looking at President Trump wearing that and thinking, man, I wouldn't do that because I would mess up the shirt, right? That shirt was a couple of $100. But he looked totally in place. Oh, and you know, people don't wear ties at McDonald's. That's how we know he's a phony. Really? Let me ask you something. Let me ask you about the management folks at McDonald's who actually wear ties. And who would you rather have a burger from? Donald Trump at McDonald's or Schmuck Schumer putting cheese on raw meat in that photo? Just a question. 326 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 334 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. Oh, it is in every sense of the word. I know. The weather is fantastic, though. Gosh, it's like, 80 degrees right now. The humidity is under control, which is fantastic. I love that. Kamala Harris saying she will have a Republican in her cabinet. Well, here, let me lay some odds for you. It would be Liz Cheney. Would you be shocked? No, of course not. So it would be Liz Cheney, and for all of those folks on the left who hated the Iraq War, you're going to get Liz Cheney as your SecDef, your Secretary of Defense, if you get Kamala Harris. Just say it. Look, you do you, as they say. But somebody at some point just has to stand up and say, "Look, I've been to this play, I've seen this movie, I know how it ends." Just telling you that. And yeah, you can make mine with extra cheese. Could I get extra cheese? Ready now? 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Bam! Put it in the bag. And the fries were better when they cooked them in, beef tallow? Oh. Oh, anyway, Jimmy Galliano, who I swear, because he's a guy who has always been about physical fitness, a graduate of West Point, somebody who retired after a distinguished career with the Federal Bureau of Investigation as a supervisory special agent. I'm willing to bet Jimmy's never even had a Big Mac. He's not going to be able to do the little song, but he knows about a few other things. Jimmy, thank you for being here.
Jeff, first of all, I know the song, and I've had a Big Mac or two in my life. Don't tell my wife that, and I hope she's not listening right now, but 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Yeah, Jeff, baby! All right.
I know the song, bud.
I love it.
But Jeff, I will never, ever pretend to have worked at a McDonald's when I was growing up, unlike some other people we know.
Well, you know, former President Trump said he's now logged 15 minutes working at a McDonald's, which is 15 minutes more than the other candidate to whom we alluded. So,
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. By the way, I know this is not related to what we're talking about, but I looked at that and I think this is where you understand, or at least for me, the tone deafness of some people on the left mocking it. Oh, he couldn't do this. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. And the rest of us, real people in the real world, go, yeah, I like a Big Mac every once in a while. Don't tell my wife. I'll be over there. And I like the fries. And I think it's really cool that he's in the window. I mean, we got it.
Yeah, Jeff, it's the whole thing about not understanding your audience, and the elites look at this and they turn their noses up and they sneer at it, and it's, you know, Donald Trump, you know, provided hamburgers and hot dogs to a football team that won the national championship, and what's going on right now? Right. But that's how he connects, and yeah. he did a great job on it, and it's a little thing, but guess what? You know, what are we talking about? 4 or 5 states, these swing states, and a couple of thousand votes. And you know what? If that's the difference, somebody who's real and authentic versus somebody who pretends to be a person of the people, we're going to see what's going to happen.
Jimmy Galliano joining us. Jimmy is, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. I want to talk about these crime stats, but since we're going down sort of kind of a political vein for a second here, Jimmy, the vice president consistently says she has prosecuted transnational organized crime. Now, I know, as just a guy who is a beat cop, right? I never got out of blue shirts, as I told our friend Adam the other day. You're a bad guy here. Put these on. I'm taking you somewhere. That was it. I wasn't investigating stuff. But on the local level, whether it was the, you call it a DA or a state's attorney or a Commonwealth's attorney, you weren't handling transnational organized crime. You guys, at the federal level, that's your bailiwick, isn't it?
Yeah, Jeff, we do work with locals. And obviously, we know that Kamala Harris was the district attorney in San Francisco, which is obviously not up on the U.S.-Mexico border. Right. But she was also the California attorney general. But, I mean, she continues to use this crutch or this prop that, you know, I work transnational criminal organizations. Transnational criminal organizations are any organization that does stuff across, you know, international lines. So obviously the Mexican cartels and what have you. But it's interesting to see how she continues to dote on this and use this right now as something to run on when, you know, we all remember back in 2020 during the riots when she was helping bail people out that were rioting and protesting in mostly peaceful but fiery protests. It's just interesting. But, you know, as Bernie Sanders said the other night on CNN, she's running against Donald Trump. She's got to do what she's got to do, which means kind of changing and distorting her record.
Changing and distorting sounds so much better than lying and prevarication. So I'm going to go with changing and distorting. That's a graduate level term right there. I like that. Jimmy, can you explain to me what happened with the FBI crime stats? One day we're told, hey, crime across America is down. I forget what it was. Was it 4% or something like that? We come back the next week, it's actually up 6%. Was somebody cooking the books for, again, political purposes?
No, and Jeff, you know, you and I always talk, and we can be scathing in our review of things, and we can call out law enforcement when it's not doing the righteous thing, and that happens at times. This is much ado about nothing, and here's how I'm going to explain this. So, you know, the FBI basically aggregates; they collect and aggregate crime data from local police departments. Now, here's a problem that we have: there's no requirement for that. So, let's say it's the and I'm well aware because I lived in Stafford, Virginia, the Stafford County Police Department or the sheriff's office there. If they don't turn in their data, and I'm not suggesting they don't, but if they don't turn in their data at the end of the year, the FBI goes forward with whatever that data is. They aggregate everything and they come up with the data. Well, just like when you're looking at inflation, the jobs report, and Jeff, you know how that gets, it usually gets adjusted downward, right? Because every administration wants to claim that inflation's down and the jobs are up. But then it gets adjusted downward. It's the same thing here. And I'm not going to blame the FBI on this. Yes, there's a thing called the National Incident-Based Reporting System. But, Jeff, it's only as good as what they get from the locals. And should the feds require this data get turned in? Yes. But the bottom line is, you know, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have been able to hide behind this. Hey, crime is down. We all knew it wasn't because we're out there and we feel it and we sense it. It's visceral and palpable. And then the FBI came out with the revised report and said, yep, instead of being down by 1.7%, it's actually up by a few points. So nothing that we didn't already know, Jeff. But I don't think there's anything nefarious there, but it's something that we all kind of knew was going on, and now we have the data to support it and concur with that.
You have any thoughts on these leaked Israel plans? Because they're doing the big song and dance of the White House. Oh, my God, we're horrified. We're upset. We'll be there'll be a full investigation. Just personally, I don't think they're all that upset.
No. We have to thank the IDF and we have to thank, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu, because they are doing God's work and they are doing the people's work right now by taking terrorists off the battlefield. And it's something that the U.S. has kind of played footsies with of recent because, you know, we've been engaged in this retrenchment and this kind of pull back and lead from behind, which was President Obama's theory of how we should lead in the world. And seeing what's going on right now, this is going to be helpful for the U.S. and for Western democracies. But yeah, I'm uncomfortable with the relationship that we have right now with Israel. They are our only true friends in the Middle East. And Jeff, no matter what happens on November 5th, I trust that the next administration takes a different position in dealing with, again, our only friends over in the Middle East right now, which is the nation of Israel.
Well, I am less than hidden in my perspective. I am hoping and praying every day that Donald Trump is victorious, because I think that Donald Trump understood the importance of Israel. And I got to say, I think Israel as a state and the Jewish people, and I'm not speaking on behalf of all of us, but I'm speaking on behalf of a chunk of us. I don't think there's ever been a better friend to Israel or the Jewish people in the White House than Donald John Trump.
No, I agree with you. Whether it was changing where our embassy is located and acknowledging that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, there truly hasn't been. And look, Jeff, I mean, this is something that is critical for peace in the Middle East. We all wish that there could be a two-state solution. That cannot happen when one side wants the utter decimation and the utter destruction of the other side. How do you work out a two-state solution? So we can talk about it with platitudes and bromides and pretend that that's really what's going to happen. But the other thing is, look, I got to give it to the prime minister right now. He's going out there. He's taking terrorists off the battlefield. And that is beneficial to everybody in the free world that doesn't believe that terrorism is a way to get things done.
Absolutely. Hey, Jimmy, I want people to follow you over on X. Do you mind sharing with everybody your handle over there?
Sure. It's James A. Galliano, G-A-G-L-I-A-N-O. And I appreciate that, Jeff. And you always let me promote the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, where I'm on the board of directors. And it is a group that defends, provides litigation monies to support cops and law enforcement officers that have been unjustly accused of crimes. And we support them. So your folks can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org to support if they're so inclined.
I love it. Jimmy, thank you so much for being here, brother. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. By the way, if you're ever in a room with Bibi Netanyahu or Jimmy Galliano and they're walking towards you, yes, you will hear clanging. It is 3:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout free Palestine. If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
free
Yeah. You don't mind if I sit this one out, do you? No, I'm just going to be over on the sidelines. I'm going to be looking at the nonsense. Well, no, actually, now that I think about it, it's so hard for me to actually contain myself, as you know. I just say stuff. I've got to say stuff. I feel compelled to say stuff. That's not always good, but I feel compelled to ask a question on this. So, sir, you, the drag queen dude. Oh, there's Julia's bus. Where exactly are you going to be opening your latest performance of the drag queenery or whatever that is? Right? Am I now? I've been told that it's an art form. All right. I don't know that I agree with that, but there's a lot of stuff I don't agree with, and there's plenty of art that I look at and think I don't think so. Do you remember what they call it? Wasn't it Piss Christ? You remember that? Wasn't that Mapplethorpe? That absolutely disgusting image, a crucifix in a beaker of urine. All right, that's fine art. Well, it looks to me like somebody whizzed in a bucket, and then maybe they were carrying that and accidentally dropped it. Because I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to think that there's not a single solitary human being on planet Earth, regardless of their faith, who looks at that and says, oh yeah, that I'm putting that in there. Because if you did that intentionally, I just think you're a very sick and twisted individual. And no, I don't think that's art. So when somebody says, oh, the guy's dressing up as sort of, I don't know, clownish women, that's art. Once again, it's sort of lost on me. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not art. It just means it's not my art. It's not art for me. But I would ask that gentleman, where will you be displaying your art? Since you're all about, quote, free Palestine, do you mean what I mean when I say free Palestine? Because I, too, say free Palestine. I say free Palestine from Hamas. That's what I say. Let the people of Gaza, because it's not really a Palestine, it's an imaginary place, but nonetheless, let's not quibble over things. Let's say let those people live in peace. Let them actually go out and have jobs. and pay bills and take care of things. See, the PLO, a lifetime terrorist organization headed up by Yasser Arafat, remember him? Multi-billionaire and all sorts of questions about whether he was fond of, well, let's just say folks who were not appropriate to be fond of. He turned himself into a billionaire. And then all of a sudden, the PLO becomes the PA. The Palestinian Liberation Organization becomes the Palestinian Authority. It's like a government. Now all of a sudden, you got to pick up trash. You got to write parking tickets. Well, they didn't want to do that. That's no fun. So they continued being a terrorist organization. Same thing with Hamas. Take a look at Yahya Sinwar. Right? Did you see the beautiful picture of him after Israel took him out of the fight? Oh, fantastic. You see the images coming out today of him and his wife running away before the October 7th slaughter? Because he had ordered it and he knew he needed to get out of Dodge. So he's and his wife are safely ensconced in the tunnels. And she's running. She's holding a $32,000 purse. I don't mean a purse with $32,000 in it. I mean a purse that costs $32,000. Meanwhile, up above ground in Gaza, you have children who are starving. Go ahead, tell me what a courageous hero he is. I guess I'd have to go out to UVA to visit with some of those nitwits to hear that sort of garbage, right? 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
5, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Well, here's hoping that the new leadership at Disney can get their act together and stop making crappy films. That's been the problem for Disney in recent history. Instead of saying we own Star Wars, we own Star Wars and we're going to turn it into this thing where the hero is actually the heroine, but is actually inside the hero and the heroine and checks off a whole bunch of boxes on this DEI card. Meanwhile, the script stinks and the actors are terrible. Oh, people didn't like the film because of the... No! Well, what about your parks? Well, we're gonna have this day and that day. Here's an idea. Just have a day where you open up, people come to the park, and they have fun. And they pay the outrageous fee. What is it, like $8,000 now to go through one of the Disney theme parks? You go into the one in Orlando, a piece of advice to you. Every afternoon between 1 and 3, it will rain. At some point, some way, it will rain. That is Central Virginia weather, or Central Florida weather. That's Orlando weather. I was always amazed. You know, we lived over on the East Coast, Del Boca Vista, right near the Seinfelds. That was my where my folks lived. I mean, I consider, you know, that I lived there as well, sort of, kind of. And it wasn't exactly the same as Orlando, but it's, you know, close enough. You know, in the afternoon, there's going to be thunderstorms. Why? Because it's Florida in the summer. That's why, and that's what happens. People go to Disney and they're shocked. Well, I didn't know. Okay, then you deserve to get wet. That's all I can tell you. But you think they're going to fix Disney, those two guys? What are the new chairman of the board and the new, I don't know, the deputy chairman of the board or the, whatever his title, who cares? Do they fix it? Do they say, here's what the real problem is, or are they going to continue going down this ridiculous DEI path? Because if you keep going down the DEI path, there's going to come a point where people say, well, that's just not true. Right? People are not seeing your films because they hate the fact that you're checking all these boxes. They hate the fact that you're not paying any attention to the script or the casting, and you're doing that all to check those boxes. Stop being concerned with the box checking, make some decent films, and maybe people go back. Stop having agenda-driven garbage at your parks, and then maybe people go back. It shouldn't, that industry really shouldn't be political in any way. Can't you take everybody's money? Seriously. Can you not take everybody's money? Here are the rides. I spent every summer of my youth working in Wildwood, New Jersey. I worked rides. I worked the games. Oh, I loved working that. It was such an introduction to life. Good Lord. First alcohol the first alcohol I had was while I was working one of the games in North Wildwood. It was late at night. And I was really good at talking. Shock, right? So my first real job when I got down to Wildwood, I was 12 years old. I had to go into the North Wildwood Police Department and lie about my age because you couldn't get a working card until you were 14 years old. So I'm standing there like, okay, I do the math. It's bad. And you know me, there's numbers involved. I don't like numbers. But I got to remember what year I was born, making those annoying air quotes. But I kept the same, you know, regular birthday, so it was easy. And then I realized, man, all that anybody wanted was their money because you had 90 days to make your money at the Jersey Shore. Memorial Day to Labor Day, that was it. Labor Day, everything shut down. You were done. So my first job after I got my my work card, and you know what's weird? I think somewhere I still have that card because I'm goofy that way. I save, or I have saved, all sorts of crap throughout the years. And Heidi, God bless her, she's tried her best to get rid of stuff. Our lower level, I got boxes that either need to go to storage or the incinerator, either way. But it's like, well, they're old newspaper clippings, and I'm writing this book, and I probably need them. But I think I might actually have my original work card, which lists the wrong birthday. But my birth, or my job after I got that work card was to carry a big stuffed dog, a big Saint Bernard, on my shoulders and walk up and down the boardwalk, Wildwood, North Wildwood, all the way down to a Wildwood Crest. And people would just come up and go, hey, where'd you get that? I go, oh, I won it. 16th in the walk, man. Easiest game I've ever played. You take this big hula hoop and you throw it around, and then you win the dog. I was like, oh, these guys, oh, we got to do that. We got to do that. We got to do that. And obviously, as you know, it wasn't nearly as easy as it would appear. So I never worked at McDonald's. Donald Trump has. Cut number 7.
Tell you what, it's a great franchise, it's a great company, and they've been very, very nice. And if you look at really what's happening, look at the crowd over there, look how happy everybody is. They're happy because they want hope. They need hope. And that's what we're doing, that's what we're going to give much more than hope. Make it fact.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
I never worked here.
Why would she lie about something like that? Will be put on your resume.
I worked at McDonald's.
Why would she lie about that?
Why? Because she's lying, Kamala, that's why.
Because she's a liar. You know, it's like, well, what's the thing with was it the scorpion and the frog? I always forget, but you know what it is. There's the bad creature and there's the good creature, and the good creature takes the bad creature across the lake or whatever on his back, and then the bad creature stings him and kills him. And before you guys go, well, why would you do that? He's like, well, because I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. I mean, that's that. There just some things that happen because that's what happens. Kamala Harris lies about stuff. Why? I don't know, but she does. That's her thing. She just lies about stuff. So Donald Trump is very honest there when he says he's worked at McDonald's 15 minutes longer than Kamala Harris did. And you know what the leftist media is already doing? They claimed that he claimed he was employed by McDonald's. I didn't hear that. Anybody else hear that? I heard him say he worked there. Right? He worked there. He did. He made some fries and he worked the window. So he worked there. I didn't hear him say that he was employed there. If he said he was employed, yeah, that would not be true. My understanding is that Donald Trump took his own money, as he usually does, and simply took care of everybody. In other words, he wanted to do the whole McDonald's thing. And the Secret Service, because, you know, they're paying attention to Donald Trump now, because the last couple of times, not so much. So they said, well, all right, you can do the thing at McDonald's, but we got to close the whole restaurant down. The whole restaurant's got to be closed down the whole time you're there. So the guy who is the franchisee owns the McDonald's, is a huge Donald Trump supporter, and says, yeah, that'd be great, but, you know, I'm going to lose all this money. I am willing to bet, as sure as I'm sitting here, that Donald Trump just said, here you go, I got you covered. You know what else I'm willing to bet? And I don't have any information, I'm just telling you, based on the knowledge I have accumulated to this point in my life, I'm willing to bet that Donald Trump went to each of those employees and probably palmed $100 or $200 right into their hand. That's what I guarantee it. And those bags, I bet you they were filled up to the top. He paid for everything. And he loves McDonald's, right? The man seems to eat Big Macs just about every day. And he loves Kentucky Fried Chicken. I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. I was telling somebody this story earlier today, talking about KFC. You know, when I was growing up, KFC was a luxury for us. It really was. That was a big, big deal. When my folks said, hey, we're going to get Kentucky Fried Chicken for dinner. Really? Oh, my gosh. That was a huge, huge, huge event. Now, at the time when I was a little kid, they only had original recipe. Germ wants to know, original or extra crispy. Now, I did go to the dark side, the new and improved extra crispy. Well, because when you eat that, you can actually hear your arteries hardening, which is kind of neat. But that was a big deal for us to get Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I understand that. I really do. Here's something that's vitally important, and it has nothing to do with me. My friends over at the Friendship Circle, they've got the fourth annual walk and roll coming up Sunday, November the 10th. It's at Fountain Lake at Bird Park. Now, we'll get Sarah Cran-Cement on before that to talk a little bit about it, because I think it's just open to everybody. If you want to be part of another great Friendship Circle event, it's always free. That's the beautiful thing. And they've got great people like Fastmark who go in there and say, hey, we got you covered. We'll take care of all the expenses. But it just popped up in my reminders here. So Sunday, November the 10th, why don't you put that on your calendar now for the Friendship Circle's walk and roll? And I'll have to see if Julia's up to it. Maybe. We'll be able to get her out there, and we'll do some of that stuff. That should be fun. All right, we got a lot coming up. My buddy Carl Carlson's going to be here at 4:35. We'll talk about where we are in terms of the economy. People right about now are going, it's almost the new year. I guess I should have thought about economic planning. Well, today is the day to do it, right? When's the best time to have planted a tree, the Chinese proverb asks you? And the answer is about 25 years ago. Second best time? Right now. Same thing with your personal finances. So Carl Carlson will be along at 4:35. My buddy, State Senator John McGuire, who is on track to become my congressman from the 5th District, is a good dude. He's going to be with us at 5:05. Don't forget, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always, 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 always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. You know, with Donald Trump hanging out in Mickey D's, could we look for a new tune, maybe? Could it be Hail to the Beef? Can he be the commander in beef? It's just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And one of those things, which I guarantee is annoying Howard Gutman. You know, Howard had worked himself all up into a tizzy last week at Politics and Pints. Hey, you know, yeah, he starts hyperventilating. And I'm thinking, man, somebody's got to get a paper bag to make sure he's okay. Because I just think he's going to pass out, but he gets all worked into a state. Oh, Donald Trump is selling things. Donald Trump sells things. So the other day, I don't know, this weekend at some point, Howard sent an email. Now, you know my policy. If I see an email that comes from Howard, I ignore it because it's always nuts because he's crazy. But this one was, see, they're not talking points. Barack Obama's upset about Donald Trump selling things. And I'm thinking, Barack Obama sold his soul, for God's sakes. What has he got to be upset about? But Donald Trump is selling already because I've gotten the offers, T-shirts with his image from McDonald's. It's brilliant. It is absolutely flippin' brilliant. And I know there's some people that just hate him, but that's another reason that I love the guy. Let me take a look at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Tobias J. says, hello, Jeff. First off, this is by far the best afternoon radio show. Now, I should stop right there. I mean, how can it get any better? But he says that. And Tobias, I would argue with you, but you're absolutely correct. Hello, Jeff. This is by far the best afternoon radio show. And I'm definitely voting for Trump, as I've done before. However, I think Trump needs to stop bashing Kamala. We already know he's the better candidate. With a few weeks left, he needs to pound policy, policy, policy. We know she doesn't have any policy. Signed, Tobias J., a black man voting Trump again in Chesterfield. Now, ordinarily, as you know, I don't give a crap what your skin color is or your faith is or your height or your weight. But I think that's important. Because there's some of us who get lumped into certain categories. He's like, oh, well, they're never going to do that. So Tobias J. finds himself as a black American being told, oh, well, you always vote Democrat. Right? I'm a Jewish guy. Well, Jews vote for the Democrats just the way it is. What about John Reed in the morning, right? John's gay. Did you know that? No, seriously. Like, I think he announced it last week, but he is. He's gay. And for the most part, the gay community, we're told, doesn't vote for Trump or for Republicans or for conservatives. And I'm thinking, well, then I don't think you've met John. John's more conservative than I am. He really is. He's a rock solid conservative, which is another reason why I think be great as lieutenant governor. But I'm just saying, what can I say? Carl Carlson's going to be along in a moment. We'll talk about the markets and when it's time to just walk away because you are financially independent. 426 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4:36, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. It's nice weather as well. Kevin Sorbo is going to be with us tomorrow. I'm very excited about this. Now, you know, Kevin Sorbo, absolutely world-class Hollywood actor, one of the few conservatives in Hollywood. And he's coming to town, the Virginia Council, which my buddy John Reed started, and founding director, I think is his title. It's a great group, and they are doing such wonderful events, bringing in so many great speakers. So the latest one is Kevin Sorbo. He's going to be here on Wednesday evening. I don't know. As I'm saying this, I'm getting people saying, Jeff, are there tickets left? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I would urge you to get over to thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org, because that's where you would find the tickets. I hope there are some tickets left. I'd imagine the VIP stuff is probably sold out by now, but you never know. You never know. So just go to thevirginiacouncil.org, check it out. Again, Kevin Sorbo will be with us tomorrow, and then he's going to be in town on Wednesday evening. So I am very, very excited about that. I'm taking a look at connectwithcarlson.com, connectwithcarlson.com. Now, that's one of the websites that Carl and the team at Carlson Financial have, and that's the one where you can download this retirement toolkit. Now, I really have gotten into the place where I'm reminding you, we talk about retirement, we think of an age. It's really a financial position, right? It's about financial independence, financial freedom, where you say, well, okay, I'm 50 years old, so I'm far away from, quote, retirement, but I have enough money positioned properly that I can go, to, you know, sail around the world or whatever it is. And that's what Carlson Financial will help you get to. Now, there are big changes coming because we're just about at the end of the year. Now, all of a sudden, people go, oh, I probably should have planned for this. Carl is joining us, as he does on Monday afternoons. Carl, I appreciate you being here, sir.
Hey, Jeff. Great to be here.
End of the year, believe it or not, we're getting into November and December. People will be panicking and going, oh, yeah, didn't you guys say I should see you last year? But people are just figuring out now there are changes. Like Medicare's got big changes coming down the pike.
Medicare has big changes, and that's open right now to December the 7th. So we have a Medicare person on our team. So if anybody's got questions about the changes, and there's quite a few of them, then give us a call and we can help you kind of figure that out and work your way through it.
Remind me, Carl, what Medicare is, because it's different than Medicaid, right? Julia, because she's disabled, has Medicaid, I guess, but or does she? Would that be Medicare?
No, it's not Medicare. It's more through the SSI program.
Okay.
A little different. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So somebody who has Medicare already knows they've got Medicare, but somebody who's hearing this goes, oh, I think I'm eligible. Who is it that actually gets signed up for it? And what are some of the changes you're seeing coming down the pike?
So it's going to be someone that's 65. So when you turn age 65 is when you're eligible for Medicare. So, but then once every year, once you're 65, now let's say maybe you're 72 or 73, well, every year you can relook at it. What supplements did I buy? Did I get the extras, the drug program, vision program? So that's part of what we can help people do is figure out is, and they change. Every year those supplements change, the price of them changes. What they provide changes, so you'll want to really look deep into how it goes from once you start looking at,
right?
Okay, I've got it.
Yep.
Now, how do I make sure I'm being as efficient as possible and covered the way that I need to be covered?
Okay. All right. I want to remind everybody, Carl Carlson is joining us from Carlson Financial. His number, by the way, their number, 844-CARLSON, 844-CARLSON. Carl and the team, by the way, picked up some nice positions in the Richmond Times-Dispatch competition. Tell me a little bit about, is it the 401k catch-up thing, right? Those of us of a certain age are now able to put more in. Again, these are all changes, I guess, coming, what, the first of the year?
So you've got to, if you're going to put the extra in, so once you turn 50, mm-hmm. then you can put an additional amount into your 401k, and most people can put 23,000 in up to that age, and then they add another 7,500
okay.
once you hit that age 50, and then you're at that amount a little over 30 grand that you can put in there, but it has to go in there
right.
before the end of the year. So you have to do that planning,
okay.
And you got to really start early on that one now. If you want to get more in there, you got to do it right away because they're withholding that on your paycheck.
Right.
And if you don't have really big paychecks, you might only have enough. Some people will withhold everything maybe the last couple months of the year and then live on the spouse's income or money out of savings or things like that. So there's strategies to be as efficient as possible there, too.
All right. And folks that turn 60, they've changed that catch-up provision, right? That's bigger now.
So you've got a... There's actually a larger amount that you can go to even under 60 if you put it in after tax.
Oh.
So you can put so much in pre-tax or after tax into a Roth.
Right.
But there's actually kind of a third option, which is after tax but not in a Roth. So it goes in after tax, but it grows tax deferred. But then when you roll money out and you change jobs or you turn 59 and a half, it depends on your company's plan. Mm-hmm. When you roll money out, then you can roll that after-tax money into a Roth.
Okay.
So that's where you're picking up some additional strategies there.
Yeah.
Depends on different plans. So that means your 401k plan of the company you work for can set a lot of those criteria, so it can be different from one 401k to another. Your neighbor works for a different company. They may have different things going on in their 401k than yours.
Oh, I didn't realize. I thought that, you know, it was all the Section 401k, the tax code or whatever, so everything had to be the same. I didn't realize it was different company to company.
Yeah, it's substantially different company to company. There's certain criteria that have to be, so like in order to roll money out, you have to be 59 and a half if you're still working.
Okay.
So no company can make it younger than 59 and a half in their plan. But some companies can say, no, you know, if you're working for us, you can't roll any money out until you're 62 or 65 or until you retire with us. Wow. So it's very company specific. And, you know, we'll sit down with you and help you figure out how does it work with your company, with your 401k. So it's different for everyone.
Well, and that's the important thing. And I want to remind everybody, Carl joins us, and I always appreciate chatting with him. But I do want everybody to know, Carl is my financial advisor, my financial planner. Heidi and I went to him with what I consider to be a very heavy lift that I don't want to work until, you know, the day I drop. Somebody said that. I heard that, Carl. Said, well, they're going to have to carry me out of this office. Like, hey, it's a nice office. I don't like it that much. I'm going to be long gone. You're going to be in the rearview mirror on that one. But you know, I also said, and you'll back me up on this, we said to you, we've got Julia. We've got to take care of Julia, not just the rest of our life, the rest of her life. And I don't know that everybody in your space would have said yes. I think a lot of people would have said, well, that's too much for us. And you and the team, man, it was like a big giant hug. You said, yeah, we're on your team.
Yeah, yep, because specific things you need to do there as well to make sure that she's taken care of. And some of the things that you do to make sure she's taken care of also help take care of you and Heidi. So you can do one thing that helps multiple other things, and it really helps make your entire financial plan stronger.
It absolutely does. Well, Carl, I always send people to connectwithcarlson.com first because of that that great toolkit over there. But after they've done that, I just want to remind everybody about the general website and the phone number, because I can almost guarantee people do that, connectwithcarlson.com, and they learn a lot, but, man, they got a lot of questions.
Yep. So call us at 844-CARLSON or reach out to us at our website, carlsonfinancial.com.
You paused there. You had a look at that. All right, I'm not going to hold you to that. It's all right. It's good. It's good. We love you. That is my friend and my financial advisor, Carl Carlson. He's a good dude, and carlsonfinancial.com is a great website. 445, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 452, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. All right, text here from our friend John Reed. You should be listening to John each and every morning, starting at 6. But John said there are tickets left for the Kevin Sorbo event. Kevin's going to be with us tomorrow. Kevin Sorbo played Hercules, had a really great career in Hollywood, but the guy is a legit conservative and a man of faith. Oh! People in Hollywood could turn into pillars of salt if they realize that, right? Somehow Kevin Sorbo has been able to navigate that through the years and build a pretty good career. Well, Kevin Sorbo was coming to town Wednesday evening. Our friends over there at the Virginia Council have set it up. It's part of their speaker series. And Kevin's going to be with us tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to that. And then Wednesday evening, I think it's 5:30 is when the VIP stuff starts. Again, don't quote me on this. Just go to thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org. And yes, you still have tickets left. That'll be great. 804 sends a text on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, did you meet Snooki and DJ Pauly at the Jersey Shore? No, Wildwood is further south. They were further north. And no, I didn't meet them, but make no mistake, I met them, if you know what I mean. They're characters. They really are just sort of characters. Another 804 says, Jeff, that hack Savannah Guthrie fake choked up when a pretend guy asked if Trump would see the pretend guy as a person. I guess we're talking about the drag queen stuff again, right? That, I don't know, some drag queen was on ABC saying, oh, my God, well, I don't know if Donald Trump would acknowledge me. Well, acknowledge you as what? As a human being? Guarantee he's going to acknowledge you as a human being. As a woman? No. You know why? Because you're not a woman. Because you're
boys
not.
Have a penis, girls have a vagina.
It is really straightforward and easy. And if you're having any trouble figuring out who is a boy and who is a girl, most 14-year-old boys can really steer you in the right direction. Not all of them, but most of them can tell you. Oh, I can tell you. Right? And don't give the, oh, you hate people line. I hate that. Well, actually, I do. I hate that line because it's garbage. You believe me when I tell you, you are not that important that I'm going to devote energy to hating you. I want you to live a long, happy, healthy life. I really do. I want you to enjoy every blessing that you get. But there's something you learn in psychology and counseling and the rest of that, if you've ever studied any of that. You can confirm concerns. I was sharing this with Heidi last night. Heidi's got a friend who, I guess, is going through, I don't know, not a breakup, but she doesn't like the boyfriend, and she doesn't know, blah, 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 blah. So I said to Heidi, I said, well, you know, remember this little maxim, one of the first things that you learn, you're learning how to be a counselor of some sort, confirm the concern, right? You're concerned about that. I absolutely will confirm that. Confirm the concern, but do not validate the delusion. So I will confirm your concern, sir, that you are wondering if Donald Trump will see you as a person. I'll confirm that concern. I don't think it's valid, but I'll confirm it. But what I will not do is engage in your delusion. I will not validate your delusion that somehow, some way, you are a girl. You're not. Now, you're still a person. Of course, we're all going to see you as a person. But you're not a lady. That's all. Doesn't mean that you need to go and hang your head and weep for hours. But it does mean that I'm not going to play your little reindeer games and pretend that you're a girl when you're a guy. Just not going to do it. I wanted to take a moment here. You know, I wasn't here on Friday, not through any fault of my own, I should point out for the record. But my dear friend Jeremy, the producer of this here little program, celebrated his birthday. I have no idea what the number is, but he celebrated his birthday, and we wanted to salute him and wish him a happy birthday because he's an absolutely great dude and a great part of the team. It is 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday evening. It's about 80 degrees. It's lovely. It really is. I just passed by. Julia's outside playing, entertaining all the members of the Hanover Chamber of Commerce. They had their big golf tournament here today, and there's still some stragglers. So if you're coming by and you're hearing like Lori Berkner and Raffi and Dan Zane's for Kids, that's Julia just doing her part to, you know, move you along, get you over to the dinner. It's good stuff. Tomorrow, Kevin Sorbo is going to be dropping by. Really looking forward to chatting with him, finding out what it's like to be a conservative in Hollywood. Oh, that's not easy. But he's done it. He's done it. And he's coming here to Richmond. He's coming to Glen Allen, in fact. Wednesday evening, there are still tickets available at thevirginiacouncil.org. There's a lot of great stuff happening. You know, Congressman Jim Jordan is coming to Virginia. I love Jim Jordan. Man, he's doing great work in D.C. And who's bringing him? Well, State Senator John McGuire, who I'm very happy to say is my state senator as we speak. And after the election, he will be my congressman representing me as part of the 5th Congressional District in our beloved Commonwealth. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff. I have to agree with you. Jim Jordan's one of the smartest ones in Congress, and he and I have had some really good conversations over the last few months, and I'm really excited to bring him to the district, the 5th Congressional District, this Saturday.
Oh, well, now, I want to know a little bit more, because as we speak, John, I'm telling you, I'm reading about some of the stuff he's got going on in D.C., the information he's uncovering about what's happened in the White House and other places. Good Lord, it's just incredible.
I'm telling you, the corruption is everywhere. It's the America Last Party. Yeah. We've got 15 days, as Trump says, to save a country. We've got to get Trump in there. We've got to get Hung Cao. And I'm in the 5th Congressional District. We've got to get all of our congressmen and women across the finish line. If we don't win in 15 days, I'm worried about our future.
As well you should be. You and I are about the same age. We're looking at this not necessarily for ourselves, right? We've both had pretty good runs and enjoyed life and all that other good stuff, but we've got kids. We want them to have some opportunities, and President Trump's the only guy fighting for them.
I know it. Did you see the other night at Hampton Sydney College, I had a forum debate with my Democrat opponent?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it. How did that go?
Well, I got to tell you, my opponent, if you watch it, I could send you a link. It has basically, my team said it looked like she watched every one of Kamala Harris's talking points. I mean, she got up there and said, she got up there and said that, hey, we need the illegal aliens coming across the border for our workforce, and there may be a few bad apples. And I'm like, tell that to Lake and Riley's parents. Tell that to the 14-year-old girl's parents who got this 14-year-old girl in the 5th District got raped by an illegal alien who was released from jail 4 times. So crime is up everywhere. And Trump said he's going to take these criminals, round them up, and send them back to their countries. And those countries say we don't want them back, and the criminals don't want to go. But if it was me, I'd just drop them off on the beach and say, hey, that's your problem.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, good luck to you. Hope it works out, but you don't belong here, and we're done with you. Did she resonate, do you think, with anybody who showed up for that debate at Hampton, Sydney, or was she just totally off point?
She brought about, I would say, 12 people to support her. I would say 100 and some people were certainly supporting me, but you know, it was interesting because, you know, we talked about diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, and she got the question first, and she says, I fully support equity and diversity, equity, inclusion. So I got up there and said something like, hey, look, as a veteran, you know, I love our country. I love the American people. If you saved my life on the battlefield, I don't care if you're male or female, black or white, Democrat, Republican, or independent, we're all Americans, but I'm totally against equal outcome. I'm for equal opportunity for everyone, but not equal outcome. You know, if I made an example, I talked about a heart surgeon. You want the best heart surgeon. You want meritocracy. I said if a plane went down in the jungle and you got a Navy SEAL jungle survival expert, would you rather have him lead you to safety or someone who's never been in the jungle? And when she got a chance to speak, she said, ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as meritocracy. And we're not going back. And she doubled down. And I said that you could take diversity, equity, inclusion, and change the word equity for Marxism because it would fit. That's and I heard one guy go, he goes, diversity, equity, inclusion equals didn't earn it.
That's right.
So we covered a lot of things. I mean, she said our economy today is the best it's ever been. And, you know, under Trump, I know, and it's crazy. It's like they believe this stuff. And under Trump, you know, unemployment was like, all-time low. We had the inflation was like under 2% inflation. Now it's got up to 10.
Yep.
Interest rates were about 2%. They've gone up to over 7. And you think about a young person graduating a trade school or graduating college, trying to, you know, buy a home, start a family. Everything's more expensive. So I kept talking about how we need energy dominance because then it would lower the cost of everything because, you know, we basically shut down ANWR when Biden got in office and started buying fuel from people that don't like these countries that don't like us. So instead of selling it and making a profit, we're buying it from these countries. And so it's America last, and that's why we need Trump back in the White House.
No doubt about it. State Senator John McGuire is joining us. John is running for the 5th Congressional District seat. We got 15 days left to sort of get over the line. Hung Cao, as you know, running for the U.S. Senate. John, you're talking about how things were when President Trump was in office versus the Biden-Harris administration. Inflation. Last day of Donald Trump's time in office, it was 1.4%. It was 9.1% under Kamala Harris. Gasoline, look, this is the easy one. Everybody goes to Wawa or wherever you're going to put gas in your truck, gas in your car, and you can see the price. I mean, it's doubled during the time these folks have been in office. It's insane.
Yeah, young people nowadays have an app, and every day they check the app to find out where to go to get the cheapest fuel prices.
Yeah.
We weren't doing that 4 years ago. So we got to get Trump back in there.
What are you hearing and feeling out in the field? As you travel the 5th District, what are people saying to you, John?
Well, you know, you guys have probably, a lot of people have seen my blue Ford Raptor that I drive around in. I wave cars in the morning. I tell people I like that truck because it's got big old shocks and I can jump through the air like Dukes of Hazzard. But I bought that car in 2019 with 0 miles, and I'm now at 232,000 miles. I've been all over the district listening to everybody shaking lots of hands. And people are very concerned with the economy. Just like you said, everything is less affordable. Now, Governor Youngkin has done an incredible job with it, even though he has a Democrat Senate and a Democrat House. But the federal is putting all that pressure on every state, including Virginia, and we can do a lot better.
Yeah,
but what I'm hearing is the economy is a big deal. People are worried about the open borders and that fentanyl that's coming across the border and poisoning the American people. And, you know, we all know it's coming from China.
That's right.
And so we've got to secure that border. So obviously the border is up there, economy is up there, and of course, safety and security. And I'd say we are less safe at the local, state, and federal level. Did you see where those gang members took over those apartment buildings in different places in the U.S.?
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Yep.
Yep. I also heard my opponent talking about Israel, and she said that we need a two-state solution and we need to have a ceasefire. And I'm thinking, if America, if the United States is at war, we're not going to let some country tell us we need a ceasefire. We should be able to finish the job and fight on our own terms.
Right.
And I fully support Israel in that effort. And Israel is a pretty smart country, and they have to be. I mean, these people want to push them into the sea and eliminate them.
That's
another reason.
Well, listen, I want folks, obviously I'd love for folks to vote for you. That's how I'm voting. I've got your sign in the yard. I had sign number one when you were running for state senate and all the rest of it. But you've got Jim Jordan coming to the district. For folks who might want to get out, is it like an open to the public thing, or do you need tickets?
It's open to the public. It's free. And it's this Saturday, October 26th at 6 p.m. Now, if you know where Farmville is, that's where Hampton City College, Longwood University, that area.
Right.
It's in the Farmville area. So it's,
okay.
The address would be 3286 Poorhouse Road, Rice, Virginia.
Okay.
And I've got a simple email address. It's just J-O-H-N, John.
Yep.
John at McGuireVA.com. That's M-C-G. UIREVA, like Victor Alpha.com. So John at McGuireVA.com. And if you send me an email, I'll give you all the details on this Jim Jordan event. Bring some friends. We're going to be giving away free Trump signs, free food, free swag. We're going to have the biggest Trump bus you ever saw. And then, I mean, it's just going to be a great time. And we'd like to give Jim Jordan, who's been fighting so hard for us, a good warm welcome. And the purpose is get out the vote.
That's
for
right.
President Trump, Hung Cao, and John McGuire.
Yep.
And I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great event.
I think so. I'll tell you what, John, if you don't mind, I'm going to share the details on my social media. I think I'm going to send you a note. I'm going to try and get down there. I'm traveling that day, but I hope to be back in time to get down there because the opportunity to visit a little bit with Jim Jordan, who's been fighting the toughest of all fights up there in D.C., a great, great guy, standing shoulder to shoulder with another great guy, John McGuire. You know, I think the world of you. I'm looking forward to you being my member of Congress, but we've got 15 days, can't let up on the gas. We've got to get it done, starting with President Trump and all of you guys, Hung Cao and John McGuire. And you know, we just got to get it done. We got to get it done. 15 days, we can get it done. We can take a nap on day 16, right?
Yep, and I got a message from Trump. Again, he wants everyone to vote early. Some people don't like it, but Trump wants you to vote early, and please get 10 people to vote. And one person said they only have 3 friends, and I said we need to find 7 more. But we need to get the word out. And I gave you that email address, John at McGuireVA.com. You know, we didn't have across the entire country in 2020, we didn't have people covering all these polls. So I'd rather have more poll workers than we need. So if you want to be part of Saving America to help Trump, Hung Cao, John McGuire, Rob Whitman, Jen Kiggins, Derek Anderson, and everybody else,
that's right.
Email John at McGuireVA.com. We'll give you the information you need. We've got volunteers, but we could use a lot more.
Okay.
And we'd love to have you out there as part of the team to save America.
I love it. John at McGuireVA.com. John, I always appreciate you making time for us. Like I said, we got 15 days. Let's keep our foot on the gas, get this done, and hoping to see you this Saturday with Jim Jordan down there in the Farmville area. That is John McGuire. He's my state senator today in a couple of weeks. God willing, he's going to be my member of Congress. He's a solid guy. And this Saturday with Jim Jordan in Farmville, that's an exciting time. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Oh, I almost pity some of the members of the legacy news media ranks. Man, they are just so, they just can't believe Donald Trump has hit it out of the park yet again, right? Cut number one.
Former President Donald Trump put on an apron today to pull off a political stunt in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Are you going to give it a try?
I do.
working the fryer to try and claim without any evidence that Vice President Kamala Harris didn't work at a McDonald's while in college, as she said she did.
She never worked at McDonald's.
You know what's interesting? It's one of those negative things, right? So I would ask, I don't even know the name of the babbling goofball there who's saying, well, it's a stunt, and he's just claiming with no proof. Wouldn't it be her job to provide the proof that she did work at McDonald's? She's the one making the claim. And I don't know how to break it to the pseudo-reporter there. But the reality is there's absolutely positively no evidence that Kamala Harris ever actually did work at the McDonald's. Number one, it was not mentioned at any point in her public life, which has run now, what, 40 years? Pretty much since the day she graduated from law school. Somehow, some way, she's been in the public light, even when it was just being the girlfriend to the very, very married Willie Brown in San Francisco. She's always been in the public light. Never once before in all of her campaigns has she mentioned, oh, yeah, I used to work at McDonald's. Why is that? I should also point out for the pseudo-reporter there that the Trump team actually found Kamala Harris's first actual resume submitted when she was looking for a job. Do you know what's not there? Working at McDonald's. So you can do all you want to kick Donald Trump. I got it. You hate Donald Trump. Make no mistake. I wrote it down. I will remember that. I also don't know how to break this to you. I don't give a crap. I happen to love this country. Man, I love this country. I really do. And I am looking at life in a very, very different way. Right? Because most of what I've done is now kind of sort of in that rearview mirror. Right? I'm not beginning a career. I'm not beginning life. I'm not beginning a marriage. I've been doing all of that for a long time. And now it's about this next generation. And I don't know how other people feel. There are other people, I guess, who don't have children who may or may not care. I don't know. I can only give you my perspective. And you can absolutely despise me or hate my perspective. But I'm telling you the truth. And that's one of the things that I will do and will continue to do is I'm a straight shooter. I will tell you the truth. You're free to dislike it. That's okay. Your mileage may vary, right? Doesn't that say that on every single car ad? Contents may settle during shipping. It's all up to you. But I will tell you what the truth is. And there is zero evidence that Kamala Harris ever worked at a McDonald's. Don't you think if she had been talking about this for 40 years, there would be somebody else who worked at the McDonald's who at some point would have come to the media and said, you're not going to believe this. That lady who worked one register over, that was Kamala Harris. I worked with her. I was her man. I hired her. Everybody be coming out of the woodwork. Not a single solitary person. What does that tell you? Seriously, what does that tell you? 527, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Good grief.
535, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Hail to the beef, baby. The beef is back. Hail to the chef. The commander in beef. No, I'm just trying to sort of, you know, figure out some stuff for President Trump. He's absolutely hitting it out of the park with this whole little McDonald's thing. I think it's brilliant. I really do. And it's just a reminder. Here's a guy who's a billionaire. A billionaire. And is more in touch with regular people than the woman who claims that she's from a middle class background. Oh, and by the way, does anybody give a rat's patoot what Ghazala Hashmi has to say about anything? What a phony she is. Three cheers for Grace Creasy, by the way, standing up and saying what the truth is, saying what's right, doing what's right. That's Grace Creasy doing that. And Ghazala Hashmi, as always, is politicking. Am I right that now she wants to be lieutenant governor, too? And where will she be living? Does she know that there's no lieutenant governor's mansion? Because, you know, sometimes she gets confused about where she's going to live. That'd be interesting, though. How could you put her in charge of education? Don't our children matter? I mean, honest to goodness, don't these? You know, oh, you're being too tough on schools. I got news for you. We're not being tough enough. You got to be really tough. You know why? Because I want all of these schools performing at the top level. I want every one of those kids to realize their potential and get as far as they possibly can. We do a terrible disservice every single solitary day in the city of Richmond. You know that. RPS fails those children every day, every single day. The mayor, the pseudo mayor in the city of Richmond, LeVar Stoney, doesn't care because it doesn't benefit his political agenda. He just doesn't care. It's nasty, though. Really is just a very, very, very nasty sort of a situation. Let me share with you a couple of little snippets here. NBC had this little interchange, little interaction with Kamala Harris. Now, they don't bother asking any of the questions like, hey, since you were involved in prosecuting all sorts of transnational criminal organizations, could you tell us the story of one or just give us the name of one of the defendants who wound up in prison? That'd be a good question. I mean, she can't answer because it didn't happen. Madam Vice President, Donald Trump, former president, was at McDonald's. Tell us about your time at McDonald's. And why haven't you mentioned it at any time in the last 40 years in public life? And how come there's nobody who's ever stood up and say, oh, yeah, I worked with her at McDonald's? Wouldn't that happen? I mean, I'm thinking about some of my earliest jobs. Now, some of my earliest jobs, I'd be willing to bet, you know, the guys who were like my Uncle Mort when I worked on the boardwalk in Wildwood. You know, my Uncle Mort's passed away. The guy we worked for has passed away. So those guys are all gone. That's another generation. But some of those guys, like the guy who provided me my first alcoholic drink, now he might not want to take credit for that, but he was a college student at the time, and I was in junior high school. But I was one of the guys. I mean, if you really pressed him and said, hey, you remember this kid? He was, you know, he looked like this, and he was carrying the dog, and then he was working behind the counter. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, he might not remember my name, but he'd go, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Because I was really good at the patter. You know, if you're in the carnival business, you're an agent. That's what they call you. You work a game. You're an agent. I became an agent at a very, very young age. Guy, how about, I'm going through my life. One of my jobs, I worked loss prevention at a company called James Way. I don't even know that James Way exists anymore. I know they were headquartered on Route 9 in Secaucus, New Jersey, because that was a day and time when shoplifting really was against the crime, against the law. It was like a real crime. And you'd arrest people. I mean, you wouldn't arrest them. You'd have to do like a citizen's arrest and you call the police. They'd lock them up. Probably some people go, oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah. But there's nobody that remembers Kamala Harris making milkshakes. Oh, and by the way, if Donald Trump wants to win in a landslide, you know what he'll do? He'll fix every one of those stinking ice cream machines.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Donald's. You do that, President Trump. You are winning 340 electoral votes. I'm telling you, it's going to look like Mondale all over again. Anyway, cut number two.
At the convention, you cast yourself as a joyful warrior, but in recent rallies, you've increasingly attacked former President Trump as an unstable and unhinged. Is that an effective closing? Is that an effective closing argument?
I think that one is not to the exclusion of the other. I have a great deal of optimism, as do the people who are here, about the future of our country. That is not in conflict with also being clear-eyed about the danger that Donald Trump poses based on the language that he has used and his admiration for dictators, his inability to really focus on the needs of the American people, in particular working people. These things are not in conflict. They all exist at the same time.
The critics who say the joy is gone, you respond.
Oh, I'm having a great time.
And we pressed her about the widening gender gap. The latest NBC News poll shows Harris leads Trump among women by 14 points. But Trump has a 16-point advantage with men. Just this week, her campaign expanded its advertising on websites that draw largely male audiences, like the sports betting site DraftKings. The vice president downplaying the divide.
Why do you think there is a disconnect for you with men right now?
Well, let me tell you, you can look at this audience and you can see that there are people of every background and gender who are showing up by the thousands. And I think it is because they know I intend to be a president for all Americans. And that is how I'm campaigning to earn the vote of every American,
not only
about their gender, but about their geographic location and unburdened by who they may have voted for in the past.
Just to be clear, though, men still say, by 16% margin, they're supporting Donald Trump right now. Why do you think that is?
It's not the experience that I'm having, to be honest with you.
No, because you've surrounded yourself with other bat crap crazy people like you. I think she may actually believe some of the garbage that she spews. It's possible. Nobody else buys it, but it's possible. It's just weird stuff. I'm sorry. Oh, Donald Trump admires dictators. Donald Trump. You know what Donald Trump is doing? Donald Trump is doing right by the American people, and that just bugs you to no end. Because you've got this whole performance piece that you have put together where you are pretending to be a woman of the people. And it's not working out, is it? It's not working out because people can see you for who you are and what you are. And you got 15 days of misery left. And God only knows what would be in store for us if we made such a colossal mistake and voted for you. It's craziness. Do you know what Donald Trump did when he was in that window? He reminded every one of us of this. Two all beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions. You know, the thing. Two all beef patties. Special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Donald Trump kicked that off in all of us. Millions of people tried to remember that. And some of us, it came pretty easily. Some of us, it was a challenge, but everybody thought about that. And everybody looked at this guy handing out food, and everybody looked at this guy with the fry olator. And everybody had a good feeling. Donald Trump is happy. And, you know, that's what really bugs the leftists, because they're such miserable people. God, there's not a shred of happiness there. There's not a ray of sunshine amongst the whole crowd. And Kamala Harris saying, well, you know, I'm going to have a Republican in my administration. Are you? No, you're going to have Liz Cheney, God forbid, if you win. You'll pick Liz Cheney. And for all you good, upstanding leftists who hated the Iraq War, how are you going to feel when you get Liz Cheney as your SecDef? That's my question. You get Liz Cheney as the Secretary of Defense in a Kamala Harris administration? I mean, I already know that it's a terrible idea, but, you know, I'm part of that evil, terrible group of conservatives. You know how we are. But you guys on the left, I mean, really, you're smarter than we are. Just ask yourselves. You know that. How would you feel with Liz Cheney as your Secretary of Defense? That's what I would like to know. Would you be happy with it? Because that's the Republican. When Kamala Harris says she'll have a Republican, that's who she's talking about. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I need my Monday time with Susanna Hoffs. Can I tell you, I really do. I have always loved Susanna Hoffs, and I think I continue to love her. And I don't care what the court system has said. I mean, restraining orders are just so, you know, intrusive. It's just kind of nutty. Tomorrow we've got Kevin Sorbo dropping by in the afternoon. I got an email here, and I'm just going to share this with you. It's from the Jewish Community Federation of Richmond. And, you know, I was supposed to go on this mission trip to Israel. What was it, like a month ago or 6 weeks? I don't know, whatever it was, but then it got canceled. And they want me to go on another one in February, but this one is very expensive. I know it sounds weird. I'm not one of those guys who complains about money, right? I mean, I do what I do. I make whatever I make, and I earn, you know, in a variety of different ways because that's just the way the world works. But even I'm looking at this and going, yeah, I'd love to do it. I really would. I would absolutely, positively love to do it, but I don't know. It's to me, it's very expensive. Yeah, maybe there'll be people. I hope there are. I hope there are plenty of people in Central Virginia who say, oh, that's nothing, Jeff. We're going to go on this mission trip to help Israel. So good luck. I mean, I'll look into it more. I'll share it with you. You might be able to do it. Josh Shapiro's probably not going. And it's a part of me that feels sorry for Josh Shapiro. You know, he didn't get picked because he's Jewish. And you can try and spin it any way you like. Well, he's this, is that, it's the crazy glasses. No, Kamala Harris looked and said, no, we're really trying to curry favor with folks in Dearborn, Michigan. That's going to be the people we need, and it's easier to get them than this whole freaking state of Pennsylvania. And you're going to, well, you're Jewish, and we don't want you. How any Jew in America today can remain a part of the Democrat Party absolutely boggles my mind. It really does. I don't get it at all. But having said that, I want to share with you a little bit, because Josh Shapiro is apparently doing all sorts of mental gymnastics, coming up with new ways to go and attack Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is supporting President Trump and free speech. Cut number four.
Let me ask you about a development we learned about overnight. Elon Musk says he will be giving away $1 million every day to random voters who sign his super PACs petition. You are a former attorney general. Is this legal?
I think there are real questions with how he is spending money in this race, how the dark money is flowing, not just into Pennsylvania, but apparently now into the pockets of Pennsylvanians. That is deeply concerning. Look, Musk obviously has a right to be able to express his views. He's made it very, very clear that he supports Donald Trump. I don't, obviously we have a difference of opinion. I don't deny him that right. But when you start flowing this kind of money into politics, I think it raises serious questions that folks may want to take a look at.
So you think it might not be legal, yes or no?
I think it's something that law enforcement could take a look at. I'm not the attorney general anymore of Pennsylvania. I'm the governor. But it does raise some serious questions.
All right. Well, I have to end the interview by saying, from one Pennsylvanian to another, go Birds. We'll be watching the game today.
Go Birds. All right, Kristen.
Big phonies, the both of them. First of all, nobody describes them as a Pennsylvanian. You don't describe yourself in that way. You're a Philadelphian or you're a Pittsburgher, right? There's such a vast difference between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. There's absolutely nothing in common. And people in Philadelphia, in all candor, we don't recognize anything west of Harrisburg. And we only recognize Harrisburg because it's where all the tax money goes. As a fellow Pennsylvanian, what a total box of hooey that is. Go Birds. I hate that sort of phony. I really do. It's like me offering an opinion on opera, right? I mean, I've listened to operas. I've gone to operas. I actually like operas. But if you think I'm an expert in it, or I'm going to go, yay, go Carmen, woo, it's just not going to happen. All right. Tomorrow morning, my buddy John Reed is here at 6 a.m. Who knows? He may announce he's running for lieutenant governor tomorrow. That would be a good announcement. Kevin Sorbo is joining us tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to that as well. Have yourself a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.